Number 26, and we'll look down in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba." Lord, we thank you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you please, dear God, illuminate our thoughts and our minds, that we may say that which will be pleasing to the Lord. Guide us into all truth, we pray, and minister to the heart of the hearer. Save that soul, dear Lord, that's on their way to hell this morning, and change their life for time and eternity. And for what you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been looking at the life of Isaac in regard to abiding in the promises of God. Isaac himself was the promised child, and truly the promises of God had been extended unto him in such a greater way than even his father Abraham had experienced. Part of it was Isaac did not have to go through the struggles that Abraham did to progress his faith, but rather he was born in a time where Abraham was immediately put some things in his life that gave him a great position to be able to honor and to please the Lord. And so do we look at our own selves today. Do you realize today that you are a part of the promises of God? Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God and you're a part of the church today, my friend, you are a part of the promises of God. You are the promises of God. The Lord said he'd build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Amen. And I'm glad, as Peter says, I'm a part of those lively stones that he made us alive and put us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And so we that are saved by the grace of God, those promises are something that have been given unto us, and we can abide in them. Now, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, those promises are extended unto you. Amen. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept Him as your Savior, my friend, the whole promises of God are extended unto you and helps you in the journey. And I thank God for that. Amen. But then when we begin to look at these things, we saw that when you abide in the promises of God, sometimes we take things for granted. Having growing up in the house of God, having growing up in a family that loved the Lord, there's things that I have taken for granted. And I believe that there's many times, even if you didn't come from it, there are times that you take for granted what you have in the Lord in regard to the promises of God. Now, when it comes to abiding in these promises, we went and dealt with that prayer to God still works. Amen. And aren't you glad that we have one seated on the right hand of the Father that ever liveth to make intercession for us, that is our advocate? And I'm glad I can enter boldly into the throne room of grace, and I'm glad prayer still works. Amen. If you don't understand the thing of prayer, my friend, you are missing the greatest resource of the believer, is that me as fallen man can talk to the great God of heaven, and he responds and helps me in the journey. And oh, what a privilege it is to abide in the promises of God in regard to the matter of prayer. But then we also looked at the providence of God, of how God was going to use Jacob and not Esau because of the heart and condition of Esau's life. And we dealt with that and how the providence of God works, making and molding our lives. God knows everything about you, and in His providence, He's got a calculated plan and a calculated will. Can I put it this way? If you die and go to hell, it's not God's fault. But you can die and go to hell, and God's got a plan that He's going to use you still for His honor and His glory. Amen. Now, that's a sad situation. I would a whole lot rather go to heaven, accept Christ, and be a good Christian, and God use me for His honor and His glory there. But my friend, God's going to receive His honor and His glory, for He is a righteous and a holy God. The providence of God works. Let me touch on this one just for a moment, and we're going to back up to verse number 1 of our text here, and we're going to look at that the protection from God still works. The protection from God still works. When I step back and I look at my life, I'm amazed at all the things that God has protected me from. When I look at Sweet Home Baptist Church, I'm amazed at all the things that God has protected you and us from. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord for His protection. And we see this protection, in Isaac's life. One of the key elements that Abraham had a problem with in the very beginning of his journey is that there was a famine that came in the land. And look with me in verse number 1. And there was a famine in the land. So what happened? Abraham had a famine in his days. And then Isaac has a famine in his days. But the Bible says, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down unto Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Amen, amen. Thank God. For the Bible says, let me find my place again. I will tell thee of verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. What is the provision of God and the protection of God, rather, in these verses? The protection of God is protecting Isaac from going to Egypt. Now, what is Egypt a picture of? It's a picture of the world. Now, when you look at going to Abimelech and Gerar, that's a picture of the flesh. But we're dealing with the world for just a moment. And God comes to where Isaac is at, and He says, listen, make sure that you don't go down to the world. You see, Abraham had already been exposed to the world. And by default, he went to the world in his time of trouble. When the time of famine came, he went down to Egypt. But God in His mercy, in the place of promise, keeps Isaac from going into Egypt. Young people, my friend, you've got one of the greatest privileges and honor in all the world, and that is to be born into a place of where you are able to hear the gospel message, where you're able to hear the truth, where you're able to hear about the promises of God and the greatness of God. And to God be the glory. God wants to keep you out of the world. Amen. Bless the name of God. Hey, listen, you don't have to waste your life in the world. Amen. You don't have to give your life away to this world. This world only offers misery and distress and despair. Why? Because it is a sin-cursed world. But thank God you can follow the ways of God. Thank God you can walk in the promises of God and never have to go down to the world. How do you make sure you stay out of the world? You listen to the voice of God. Amen. See, here's the thing. The world has a draw to it. There's a draw saying, hey, we'll meet your need. We'll take care of you. But there's a God in heaven that says, hey, I got a different plan for you. I've got some promises that I want to impart unto you, and you don't have any reason to go down in Egypt. The promises of God have never been down in Egypt. Amen, amen. And he says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. All of a sudden, the Lord's saying, I'll be with you. Young person, older person, whoever you are, there's a God that wants to be with you. What greater protection can there be than for the God of heaven to be with you? He says, I will be with thee. And he says, and when I'm with you, he says, and will bless thee. For God's protection to be there, and then God's provision to be there. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these. Look at all the I wills. I'll be with thee. I will bless thee. I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Do you realize how important the promises of God are? I can make a promise to you. I can tell you something. And the truth is, I may never be able to perform that which I desire to do. But if God makes a promise, there is nothing that is going to get in God's way of doing what He needs to do. I cannot see the future of knowing how my life is going to take place. Listen, I can promise that I'm going to do something, and I may die before this day's out and never get around to the promise. But I have a God that's not going to die. I may make a promise, and there may be a circumstance that might come up that I just didn't know what was coming up. But God has never had a circumstance come up that He didn't know that it was going to come up. Amen. Hey, I may end up in a place of financial difficulty where I can't do for you what I wanted to do. But my God's never been broke. I mean, when God says, I'll do something, buddy, that's a big, big thing. Amen. And He says, I will do this. He said, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give, or and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And so God is extending these promises unto him. But the understanding is, you have no reason to go to Egypt. You have no reason to go to Egypt. Hey, listen, my friend, if you're that foolish to think that you need Egypt to get where you need to be with God, my friend, you are selling yourself short of what God has for you. You're missing the promises of God. Amen. My friend, you ought to abide in the promises of God and make a commitment in your heart that Egypt is not for me. The world and its ways is not for me. Amen. I have something else that God has for me in my life, and the pattern of this world is not for me. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, how do you know? How do you know if you're doing it God's way? Well, look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, we don't like talking about the law, do we? But that's what he said. That's how you're going to have the promises of God. That's how you're going to have the blessings of God. That's how you're going to have the protection of God in your life, is to obey the voice of God. Now, Abraham did not have the Ten Commandments. Abraham did not have what we have in Scripture in regard to the law of God. So how did he know the law of God? What did the Scripture say? That Abraham obeyed my voice. What God said, he did it. What God said, he did it. You've got a wonderful privilege that you have the Word of God in front of you, and that it has the commands and it has the mind of God in it. And then on top of that, what Abraham also didn't have was the Spirit of God that you have, that is able to take the Word of God and make it alive to your heart and to your mind. So the truth is we have a far superior blessing than what even Abraham had, for we have the written Word of God, which is recorded, hallelujah, for us. And then we also have the Spirit of the Word of God teaching us and guiding us into all truth. Now we look at this. He said he obeyed my voice, that he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Why all these things? Are these all one thing? Well, in a sense they are, but they have a different avenue, each one. It's almost backwards in a sense, but what happens is this. There is a charge, which that charge gives you the idea of the mind and the perspective of God. God spoke, and when He charged things, He was all of a sudden saying, this is the way it's going to be. And from His charge came commandments. said, these are the principles that we're going to follow. From the commandments came the statutes, saying, all right, from the commandments that are given, this is how they're going to work, and this is how to apply them. And then you'd come to my laws, and then when you look at the entirety of the law, it is the standard of how we're going to conduct ourselves and how we're going to live. You see, when we look at the entirety of the Bible, you have the entirety of the law, all of it. Okay, just the law of God. This is God's law. You realize God has a law? God has a law, and this is His, contains everything about Him. Now, under God's law, the next part of that is His commandments, is part of His charge, but it's His commandments. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's the command that I have. They're very simple. The commandments of God are very, very simple. The world has nothing to do with the commandments of God. God's people are supposed to have something to do with the commandments of God. All right? So the commandments of God are here. And so He has His commandments. So you have the law, you have the commandments, and then you have the statutes under there. And when you have the statutes under there, that is giving you the understanding of how to take the commandments that God has given and to execute them in certain areas of your life. Now, we could elaborate on that, but I don't have time to. But understand this. You better understand that if God's blessing is going to be in your life, it is going to be because there's a willingness to obey the voice, the commands, the charge, the statutes, the law of God. Now, I don't obey the law of God. I don't follow God's law to be saved. It's grace that saved me. There's no keeping of the law that will ever save you. You can keep the law to the best of your ability and go straight to hell. The grace of God is what saves me. But when God saved me, He gave me something on the inside to allow me to keep the laws of God. Amen, amen. We live in a day where they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Why? We're saved so we can do whatever we want to do. No, my friend, you are missing what God has for you. And you might be saved, more than likely you're not. But for somebody that is saved and the promises of God are going to be implement in their life, it is going to be because of obedience unto the Word of God. God's protection in your life is because of obedience. Disobedience will always open you up for the attacks from this world. Disobedience will always open you up to the attacks, not of this world, but of the devil. Why? God's not going to keep His hand on you if you're pushing away His voice, if you're pushing away His word. Hey, God esteems His commandments. God esteems His commandments. God esteems His commandments above your will. And so if you want to do things your own way and go your own direction, all you're doing is putting in jeopardy the protection hand of God in your life. But I don't want to belabor that point too much. But here we go. We see that God protects him from Egypt. But here's the other side. God allows him to go down to Gerar, to what would be the Philistines' country. Now, when he comes here, the Philistines are a picture, and the Canaanites is a picture of the flesh. And so even though God protected Isaac from the world, he still had to deal with his flesh. You see, there's young people in here, there's certain things about this world you'll never know, and thank God for it. There's elements of this world you'll never have to fight or deal with, and thank God for it. Hey, listen, I'm thankful that there are some young people in here that if they'll make a decision not to go the world's way and they'll follow and obey the Lord, that they'll never know what alcohol tastes like. Amen. They'll never know what drugs are all about. Amen. They'll never know a lot of the things that many in here may know about. And I'm glad God can forgive for all those things. But God can keep them from all those things. And to God be the glory. They can go to the marriage altar clean and pure. Amen. Thank God for that. But you still have a flesh that you're going to have to deal with. You still have something that you were born with that is corrupt and defiled. And you can take all the influences from without and try to minimize their effect in your life. But there's still a problem with you that's on the inside that God is going to have to work with. And that's the picture of when you come to the Philistines. Now when you come to these, the Bible says in verse number 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife. You know one thing that will get in your flesh is way more than anything is your fears. Fear. Fear of doing what is right. Fear of telling the truth. Fear of being honest with yourself. Fear of the consequences of doing and living for the Lord. Fear is eating so many people up. They've been grown up in church. They know the things of God. They're supposed to be walking with God. But for whatever reason, they are scared of what could happen. Fear. Why should he be afraid? But he's afraid. Then he said, feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of this place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. The attack in your flesh is going to be because of your fears, but it's also going to be in regard to your family. You know that most people deal with their flesh in family settings. It's amazing to me at the big push, and I say I'm for the family, but I'm for the family to serve God. But the truth is most of the time the family is what's pushing the flesh. Hey, listen, can I tell you one of the lies of Satan is to take your family from the world and never to fight the battle of the flesh in your home. And what happens is we have separated sometimes ourselves from the world and we're not there, but here we are in another place and it's our family and our flesh is taking over in certain areas. We're afraid we're going to miss out on something that would be so wonderful for us and our family, and so all of a sudden the flesh takes over. The Bible says, and it came to pass when he had been there a long time, then Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. You realize that this same lie was the same lie that Abraham had told to Abimelech, to the king of the Philistines. What is the problem? The same flesh that Abraham had was the same flesh that Isaac had, the same thing that Abraham never dealt with. Now Isaac's having to deal with it. Daddy, I heard it a long time ago, but it's still true. Anything you don't deal with in your flesh, your children will have to deal with it. If you don't get your flesh under control, your children's going to deal with that same thing. You say, preacher, I know about this situation where this person, that they went and did this, and their children just turned totally opposite about it because of what they saw it did to their parents. You might find a situation like that every once in a while, but most of the time what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. What you do a little bit of, they'll do a lot of. You better be very careful with your flesh getting out of control. But that being said, he's in this place and he's told everybody that she is his sister instead of his wife. But one day, Abimelech sees Isaac sporting. If I can put it this way, he was flirting. And that's still a good thing to do. It's still a good thing to flirt with your wife. Amen. Wake up! All right? Still a good thing to do. And verse number 9, and Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how saidest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto her, Because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Abimelech steps in, and here's what happens. Isaac could not conceal what he really was and the real relationship that he had. Here's the truth. A lot of times you're afraid to serve God. You're afraid in this way and you're afraid that way because your flesh has gotten in control. But if you're really a child of God, God and His protection is not going to let you hide in the shadows. If you're a child of God, what you really are is going to come out. And even though you may be afraid to reveal what you really are, you may be afraid to stand up for what's right, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to abide in that place in secrecy. Amen? This idea of secret disciples and half-hearted Christianity, it doesn't work. Amen. It's going to be real. You're going to have to make a stand sooner or later, or either you're going to get off the boat. And your flesh is where the problem is. The reason why you conceal things, the reason why you won't go all the way for God is because your flesh is in the way. But what happens if you're a child of God? There's going to be a working on your flesh, and a working on your flesh, and a working on your flesh, and God is going to have His way in your life. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. And so we see the protection hand of God. Let me touch on this one. I don't know if we'll get through it or not. But I see the provisions of God. The provisions from God, they still work. You find that in verse number 12, that Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. All of a sudden we see God protecting him. Now we see God providing him. He goes and he begins to plant and he begins to grow and he begins to do the different things. And the Bible says that God blessed him 100-fold. What a blessing that the hand of God is in Isaac's life in such a way that he is pouring out the blessings upon him. Why? He didn't go to Egypt. Why? Because he went and obeyed the same God that his father obeyed. Because he stayed away from the world. Because he got his flesh under where it needed to be and got it right. And when he did, God is pouring out his blessing in his life. To such a point that the Philistines are envious of him. Can I say, God's blessings still work? God's blessings still work. I'm telling you, we live in a day where it doesn't take much, but if God blesses somebody, it is true that there's envy of those that have the blessings of God on their life. God will be blessing someone. Why is God blessing them? They've been obedient to God. They've followed the commands of God, and God is blessing in certain areas. And when God blesses them, envy creeps up in the hearts, can I put it this way, of other people's flesh. Now, that's not right, but it's there. And God was blessing him to this magnitude, and God is giving him wealth from his work. Now, I'm not talking about a health and wealth prosperity gospel. For truly, there's things that God sends to the just as he did to Job. But the truth is, he blessed Job as well. And there's a blessing of God that God has on one's life to meet the need of our life. I'm telling you, my friend, if there's a need that's not being met in my life, I'm going and checking and seeing if I and where I'm supposed to be with the Lord. I'm checking my heart. And so he went and he had the wealth from his work. But then we look at these wells. And we come to these wells for Isaac to be fruitful. Water is very important. Water is very, very important. What is water a picture of in the Word of God? It's a picture. If it's still, it's a picture of the Word of God. If it's moving, it's a picture of the Spirit of God. And for fruitfulness to be in your life, you need water. But what does the Bible say? In verse number 15, For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. What happened? Isaac had a daddy that passed some things down to him. Isaac had a daddy that went and had some wells that were flowing. Can I put it this way? He had the Word of God, and he had the Word of God being productive in his life. Amen. Isaac comes, and when he comes to the same well, what's the problem? They're clogged up. Who clogged them up? The flesh. You know the reason why the Word of God's not working in your life anymore? Because your flesh, the flesh of your family, has clogged up what God wanted to do in your life. You see, you know what flesh does? It stops this from working in your heart. The flesh stops the Spirit of God from flowing in your life. That's what the flesh does, and it goes and clogs up what is wrong. Hey, young person, listen, there's a joy and there's a satisfaction that you have in the Word of God, but what will happen is you'll be dealing with your flesh one day, and you're going to come to a point in your life where you're going to be dry and you're going to be dusty, and you're going to look around and you're going to see a well and there's no water there because something has clogged it up, and they filled it with earth. They filled it with the things of this old world. And as they put those things in there, you don't have any refreshment. There's no satisfaction. The truth is you're parched, you're weary, you're dry. Why? Because somebody has clogged up that well. So what does Isaac do? The Bible says in verse number 16, And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art mightier than we." And Isaac departed from thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And the Bible says in verse number 18, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." So what did he do? He went down there and he began to dig those wells to make sure that water was still going to come up, that they were able to find refreshment, that they were able to find nourishment. Why? His fruitfulness depended upon it. His fruitfulness depended on that water being able to come forth. Now, I know their well was a little bit different, but think about something for me, with me for a moment. Most of you, our wells in our day, what happens? There's a pipe that goes down in the ground. It might be an inch. It might be a little bit bigger, depending on what size well that it is. But what happens? That pipe is there to make sure that water is able to flow freely. An old well would have a cavity that was large enough to make sure that water was able to flow freely. And so there is all of a sudden something that is put there to make sure that dirt and that earth doesn't get in the water. What is that called? We call it a pipe, but I'll tell you what it is. It's called a standard. It's called a standard. When I think of standards, you ever heard of what is called health standards? Amen. Any of you appreciate a few health standards? I know we get frustrated with some of them, but I'm thankful for some of them. I mean, if you go down that fast food restaurant, if they didn't have them, can you imagine what would be going on? What is the intent for the health standard? To keep the contaminants out and to make sure that when you consume your food that it doesn't hurt you. When it comes to this water coming forth, what happens? You want good, clean water to come forth. What keeps it clean? Standards. Now here's the thing I want you to understand. Standards will never produce fruitfulness. Sticking a pipe in the ground that's clean as can be has never caused a garden to grow. Going and putting the standard and causing there to be some standards around, hey, just because they have health standards doesn't mean that that makes you a burger. The standard is there to make sure the burger is where you can consume it. The standard of that pipe to protect it from the elements is there where that water can come forth, and that the water is what will grow and cause fruitfulness. You see, here's what happens in our life. Whenever you do not appreciate standards and you do not stand with some standards, your life is getting clogged up. Now, some people, they just want standards and they think that, oh, look at my beautiful pipe. Look at my beautiful standard. Look at my beautiful thing that is here and how, what a wonderful, and good, yeah, you did a good job. But the reason for the standard is to make sure that there's going to be water that flows. Right. To make sure that there's a function for what we're attempting to accomplish. And when you understand that, you know the reason why the Word of God is not working in your life anymore is because standards that were already declared for us of how it was supposed to be and how we're to accomplish, you've pushed them to the side, and now the Word of God is not flowing anymore in your life. You know the reason why people are not able to endure sound doctrine, that you're not able to take the Word of God and teach them about the things of God and for it to bring joy and nourishment and fruitfulness in their life, because their well is stopped up and there's no flowing of any water. But what did Isaac say? He said, these wells have been stopped up, but I'm going to dig them back. What my fathers had dug, and the fruitfulness that they had in their day, the way it's going to come back is because I'm going to clear out the flesh. I'm going to put a standard to make sure the flesh is not going to get in my water. And I'm going to let the water come forth to bring nourishment and to bring refreshment to me and to my family. Amen. Hey, there's some people that need to wake up and realize all the earth that is in your life and say, you know what? There's some principles that they taught long time ago and they need to be put back in place, not because the principles are going to bring revival, not because the principles are going to make that big of a difference in regard to themselves, but it's what God brings through those things that keeps it right and keeps it clean. Amen. Hey, you know what keeps a pipe clean? Running water through it. If you've got a pipe that's been sitting there, if it's a hose pipe that's been sitting out in the shed all week, I'm not interested in drinking out of that thing. But you let that thing run a couple days, watering this and watering that, there ain't nothing wrong with using that hose pipe, is it? Now, some of you are too sophisticated for that. You don't realize how dirty that pipe is underneath the ground, and you think that hose pipe is so filthy, but the truth is that one that's coming under your ground is just as bad. But understand something, the more water that flows, the cleaner it gets. You may tell you the reason why some people's standards are dirty in and of themselves is because they hadn't had no water flowing through them. Listen, I believe in standards, but more importantly than that, I believe in the authority and the function of the Word of God to flow through my life and to spring up in my soul. What did Jesus tell that woman at the well in John chapter number 4? I believe it's verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. My friend, God gave us something that could function in our life and bring fruitfulness and bring satisfaction and bring refreshment in our life, and thank God for it. Now when we go on to verse number 20, and the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. That word Essek means strife. You know what happens? The Philistines that plugged up the well are now fighting when you unplug the well. Or they're fussing about it. Now you go to the next verse, in verse 21, and they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. That means opposition. And they're fussing and they're fighting. And then in verse number 22, they go and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Here's what happens. These people of the flesh, these people of the Philistines, these fleshly people that didn't care about the water, they didn't care about fruitfulness, they didn't care about the well, the water, or the fruitfulness, or any of it. When it starts working in your life, all of a sudden they're interested in what's going on. Now here's the thing, they don't care about the standard, they just care about what God is doing in your life. And there's a fuss, and there's a fight about it. You ever started doing something for God? You put a standard in. You started letting the water come through. Hey, the world and the flesh, it want nothing to do with it. But all of a sudden, you're putting these things in your life, and then somebody's going to come and fuss about it. And they're going to fight about it. And they're going, why? Because they're envious of what God has done in your life, and they want a part of it. But they didn't take the time to dig the well. As a matter of fact, they took the time to stop up the well. There are fleshly churches, and God help us not to be one. But there are fleshly churches that have stopped up the well of God, stopped up the wells that God wants to use, and stopped them up. And then when you go to clean one out and God begins to bless, all of a sudden they want a part of it, and they're trying to take it. And the reason why is because they have not learned to have their own fruitfulness and their own standard in their own life. Can I say what happens? Listen, if somebody else, for me living right and God giving me water in my life, can take and use it, praise God for it. Let them take it and use it. I'll move over and dig somewhere else and put another standard in place and get water flowing there. And if they want to fight over that one, we'll move over a little bit more and we'll dig another well. Amen. You say, why? I'm not going to go make them happy by covering the well back in. Amen. I'm not going to fill the well back in. Amen. No. We're going to go say, hey, Lord, how can we produce more fruitfulness in our life? How can we have the water flow more? How can we have the Word of God dwell in us more richly? How can we do more? Why? Because every time the water starts flowing in you, it's going to have an effect on people around you. Amen. Now, they're not going to like it. And they're going to think they're all sideways about it, but the truth deep down in their heart, they know what you have is what they need. What you have is what they need. You'll never have fruitfulness with stopped up wells. Amen. And the cleanness of the well doesn't produce fruitfulness. But can I put it this way? The dirtiness of your well can stop fruitfulness. Amen. Hey, the pipe itself, that clear channel, doesn't produce fruitfulness. The water that comes through it does. But your flesh can stop what God wants to do. Let me catch both of these real quick. Verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and will multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. We see the worship of the Lord still works. Amen. It still works to worship God. Amen. And there was worshiping that was going on in his life. And just as real as he dug the wells, he also built the altars just like Daddy did. And he went to that place. Why? Because it wasn't just the fact that he wanted good-looking wells. He wanted there to be worship in his heart. He wanted there to be praise unto his God. My friend, all the things about the standards and all that, you get those under control and that water begins to flow. But the real purpose of what we're all about is making sure that the God of heaven is honored and that he is pleased and that he is glorified. Amen. Why do we stay out of the world? Why do we say no to the flesh? Why do we make a standard? Why do we do all these things that the world says, you're crazy, that the flesh says, why do we want anything to do with it? Because we know that there's a God in heaven that wants to meet with us, and the God of heaven that's going to meet with us is going to meet with a holy and a peculiar people. Let's read the last few verses in verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. What a testimony. What a testimony that God wants to work in peoples of promise. Do you realize because you're a people of promise that God can work this in your life as well, where there's a testimony of the goodness of God in your life? The Bible says in verse 30, and he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes in the morning and sware one to another. And Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. So what happens because of his testimony? They come to him and they're wanting to make peace with him. Why? Because it goes back to the same thing Abraham did. Abraham had the presence of God, and Abimelech recognized it. Isaac had the same promises of God and even so much more in his life, and they recognized it. And what happened? There's a place of promise. They make an oath. That Beersheba deals with that oath. It deals with that promise. And it was the well of an oath is what Beersheba was about. My friend, there's some promises you need to make to God. Saying, Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. Abiding in the promises of God, I'm going to make sure that I stay separate from the world. You've told me not to go there. I'm going to deal with my flesh. I'm going to dig some well and set some standards where the Word of God will flow through me and bring fruitfulness. And then when God blesses your life and God touches you, God will allow you to be a blessing to a lost and dying world that needs to see Jesus in you. Let's stand and we thank you, dear God, for your grace and mercy unto us.